want to cry again. Last time I was here, Jesus, I just started out bawling. Can we just sing that one more time? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. One more time, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. Ain't he great, saints? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I love y'all. Miss y'all. So good to see y'all again. Pastor Dale keep messing up. He don't give me no timeline, so y'all already know. 50 minutes. No, I was playing. I will move as the Spirit of God leads me and reverence this place that I've been given the privilege to be able to stand before you today. Matchless, merciful Savior, we worship you today, Lord. We set our soul's attention and our heart's affections on you, praising you for who you are and what you've done. Father God, I ask that you would help me to help your people and all people hear your word. In Christ's name I pray and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Have you ever failed a test before and then realized that the consequences are actually cataclysmic? Can anybody agree with me? You failed a test and the sufferings were astronomical, right? So, real quick, since it's on my brain, I have the privilege to take part in something like a VBS, but it's lengthy. It's actually 2 weeks. It's at a White Rock Baptist Church, and it's called a Next Level Experience. So basically from 8:30 in the morning until 5:30 in the evening, it's a massive VBS, right? But it's for 2 weeks. So the requirement is to be I can't even think of the name of it, CPR certified, right? And it's been a couple years, my certification expired, and so I was able to find a spot where my wife and our oldest daughter, we were all able to go to get certified at the same time. So we get there, and the lady's like, if you miss four or more, then you will fail. And if you fail, then we are going to have to retrain you. And so, you know, of course, I'm praying in all things, you know what I'm saying? I'm always praying. I'm like, God, please help me. Okay, so we have this class. She's an incredible instructor, very detailed, organized, all that. And so she's giving the instructions, and I'm taking copious notes, family. She said it's open book. So the test comes, and when the test comes, after the first three questions out of 25, I'm completely lost. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to look at my wife's paper, who's a genius, but I really feel like cheating right now, right? So I stay focused. So I struggle with the test. I'm the last person taking the test. I'm like, oh Lord, I got five questions. New people are coming in, and she's like, we're going to have to sit over here until this guy's done, basically. And so I finally got finished, so I handed her my test results. And she was like, here you go. Here is the correct answers. Take this, bring it back when you're finished, and that's that. And so when I sat down, you know, I began to grade myself. I had all these marks, like I was missing so many questions. I was like, oh my goodness. But she was actually blessing me. I didn't realize it at first. She was basically like, I'm giving you the key. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I marked off the ones I got wrong and I circled the ones that were right. And 4 hours later, my daughter calls me from upstairs. She was like, Daddy, she was like, did you get your test results? And I was like, I don't think so. And she was like, Daddy, I can't believe I passed. I thought I failed. And I was like, really? So I looked in my email and I passed. I was just praising God because I knew if I didn't pass, I could not participate in instructing these beautiful students like the students that you all will get during VBS. So I can save a life, family. I just didn't do well in the test. So, you know what I'm saying? Keep us in prayer as well. Family, today we are going to dive into a passage of scripture. You're probably familiar with it. Not sure. But if you can, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23 is where we are going to unpack today. Just in case you're a novice to scripture, the book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. And I call him Dr. Luke because Apostle Paul called him the beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Publishers of scripture and theologians, they actually would call the book of Acts the second gospel of Luke. Some of them actually call it the Acts of the Apostles. Me, I'm just grateful that he wrote it so I can learn how to suffer well in the assigned sufferings that the Lord has for me. When you got it, say, I got it. Praise the Lord. Verse number 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Anytime I'm reading the book of Acts, you might feel the same. I immediately think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, where Apostle Paul, he made it clear that all who serve the Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. All who serve the Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. And this would actually be a prescriptive writing. Those that live out loud, those that actually allow their contemplation, their conversation, and their conduct to be a public display, all for the glory of God. It's a commitment, as Jesus said, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Matthew 5:16, pretty familiar verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works, and glorify who? Your Father who is in heaven. To give a quick resume that will sum up the sufferings of this servant who serves the sovereign God, I want to take you on a trip real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You don't have to go there, but verses 23, I'll say through actually 33, just gives us a snapshot of the things that Apostle Paul had to go through. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified version because it is amplified with no ambiguity whatsoever. So he says, are they self-proclaimed servants of Christ? I am speaking as if I were out of my mind. I am more so, for I exceeded them with far more labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, and often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Family, that's 195 whelps. I don't know if that triggered your past. I don't know if y'all was raised like me where your father would tell you to go get the belt or your mother would tell you go pick switches from the bushes and you better not bring back a flimsy one or she'll go out there with you and you'll pick it in front of her, right? But that's what happened to me when I first read this, right? Praise God, you know what I'm saying, that the whoopings are over with. I can actually raise our daughters by just talking to them and they're super obedient. But some of you might not agree with that. Praise God. I remember the whoopings, and they made me a decent citizen, so, you know, they work. Praise the Lord. All right. Going forward, he said, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent adrift on the sea. Verse 26. Many times on journeys, exposed to danger. Danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among those posing as believers. In labor and hardship, often unable to sleep in hunger and thirst, often driven to fasting for lack of food. In cold and exposure without adequate clothing. Verse 28, besides those eternal things, there is the daily, inescapable pressures of my concern for the church, who is weak, and I do not feel his weakness. Who is made to sin, and I am not on fire with sorrow and concern? If I must boast, I will boast on the things that reveal my weakness, the things by which I am made weak in the eyes of my opponents. Verse number 31, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed and to be praised forevermore, knows that I am not lying, excuse me. In Damascus, the governor, Ethnarch, under King Aretas, guarded the city of Damascus in order to arrest me. And I was actually let down in a basket through a window in the wall and slipped through his fingers. So if you don't know, now you know. Where the strengthening and establishing by ordaining and assigning elders to churches, you had to put some labor in. And that's exactly what Apostle Paul did. This ordaining ceremony here in verse number 22, it's right off the heels of Apostle Paul being beat down so bad that he actually was left for death. And in being left for death, the Lord was gracious to allow the disciples to stand around him. I'm sure they were praying, trusting the Lord to revive, restore, and rejuvenate Apostle Paul. And by the grace of God, the Lord was not done with him. So he rose up. I'm sure he was full of blood, bruises all over his body. But he got up and continued on the journey that the Lord had for him. This was actually his first missionary journey. And most scholars would say this is between 47 and 48 A.D. So I want us to be able to see how Apostle Paul got here. So we'll take a trip down memory lane, starting back in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, right, where we're introduced to this young man by the name of Stephen. This young man, in my eyes, he was the dopest deacon chosen first round draft pick. When I say dope, that just means he was amazing, right? And the requirement was to be full of the Spirit of God, to be full of faith, full of wisdom, and he had good reputation, right? He actually became the first Christian martyr. Apostle Paul was actually standing there at this time in scripture. He was called Saul. That's just his Hebrew name. I'm sure you all know Paul, Greek, Saul, Hebrew, right? So this young man by the name of Saul, he consented this horrific stoning here. He began leading the way in the persecution of the church, wreaking havoc in people's cribs with no discrimination between male or female by dragging anyone that followed the way, capital W-A-Y, which was a name that was given to the Christian church before it actually was called the Christian church. And basically, anyone that was proclaiming Christ, the anointed one, that was highlighted the Messiah to come out of Psalm chapter 2 or Isaiah chapter 53. Well, over some time, scripture does not specify, but his reputation, it definitely preceded him. Acts chapter 9, Saul was still breathing murderous threats, and him and his squad of dudes were en route to the Damascus Road, and all of a sudden, the Bible says that a light shined bright and knocked this dude on his back, right? Well, I don't want to eisegete the text. The Bible says that he was knocked down to the ground, right? Forgive me, scholars, right? He was knocked down to the ground, right? But in the process of him being knocked down to the ground, he had an encounter with who he did not realize was the creator of the cosmos, Jesus the Christ, right? Asking the question, why are you persecuting me? And so ultimately, he was blinded, lost his eyesight. I love the scenario. That's so fitting because one of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So not understanding initially who he was dealing with, once he has this encounter, his whole life turned upside down. Amen. Well, I have discipled both of our daughters. We have a 20-year-old and 10-year-old. I believe I've told you all before. And our job as fathers, of course, is to train up our children, right? Is to lead them according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and Deuteronomy chapter 6 as well, right? Alongside of our wives, of course, right? But I never forget one day we were doing Triple D. That's called Daddy-Daughter Discipleship. And we're doing Triple D, right? And Sabrea, who is 10 now, right? She was 8, this is maybe like 2 years ago. And she's, what I require her to do is like read a chapter and then unpack it to me as best as she can. My job is to help guide her. She says something off track, I lovingly and reverently put her on track, right? So she says, yeah, Daddy, and Apostle, you know, she's super dramatic, right? Probably like her dad. Yeah, Apostle Paul, he was on his way to Damascus, and he got knocked off of an animal, and he hit the ground. And so then she says, Daddy, she's like, what kind of animal was it? Was it a horse or was it a donkey? And I was like, honey, I was like, I would love for you to show me the chapter and verse of what you're talking about, because I can't seem to find it. Maybe my eyesight is not right, and you being so young, you know, so you have great eyesight. So if you could show me where that said, we could continue. So she looks at verse 3 and verse 4 and realizes that's not in scripture, right? So I said, honey, I said, don't allow VeggieTales and Superbook to be your theology source, right? I love them, I enjoy them, but we all know there are some things that are kind of fiction, right? So praise God, we enjoyed, kept it moving, and that was that. But I can't neglect the fact that in her passion and her excitement, I wanted her to be on the straight and narrow, because if I train my daughters to disciple other young ladies as they get older, then I have to ensure, praise God, the opportunity happened with me and me alone so that I could correct her instead of her discipling somebody else and giving them faulty information unintentionally, right? So, excuse me. Then the Lord sends this disciple from Damascus named Ananias to a street called Straight. You know, I thought that was actually ironic, a street called Straight, which is where Paul is going to get on the straight and narrow, right? And he lays his hand on this blind man who actually caused him to freak out so bad, he literally was questioning God. God is omniscient. He knows all things, right? Why would you question him? But then I was like, hold up. I do the same thing. I think all of us might question the Lord. Can I get an amen? Right? But he's gracious and merciful and loving and long-suffering and patient. So basically he told Ananias, go do what I told you to do, because he is one of my royal priesthoods, my chosen generation, my peculiar people, and my holy nation, to set forth the praises of him who has brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So, excuse me. He told Apostle Paul in verse number 16, which is actually any student of scripture should constantly return back to this verse whenever they see the suffering of Apostle Paul, right? It was descriptive, right? Meaning it's what occurred. It's not pinpointing every believer will encounter this, but it's significant for us to understand as Paul goes through these trials and tribulations, Jesus made it crystal clear to Ananias after he told him to do what he's supposed to do because of the fact that he belongs to God. He told him, I will show him how great he must suffer for my name's sake. I will show him how great he must suffer for my name's sake, right? So verse 19 goes on, and after Apostle Paul was strengthened, he began to preach in Damascus. Then he went down south and he preached in Jerusalem. Then he went up north and he preached Christ in Antioch. Then he started to go west and preach Christ in Seleucia. Then he jumped down into the Mediterranean Sea, landed on an island called Cyprus, and preached Christ in Salami. I'm just hungry. It's Salai. I can't remember the name of it. That place is in a Bible map. You can find it, right? And then he went a little further west to Paphos, not the island of Patmos, but Paphos. After that, he departed and went to a place up north called Perga, which is in Pamphylia, right? So he's preaching Christ there as well. Then he departs from there and starts going up north a little more to another place called Antioch. Family, I remember when I was a younger dude, you know what I'm saying? I'm still young, praise God, 53, Lord is gracious. But I remember when I was super young and I was trying to keep track of Apostle Paul's like missionary work. And I was like, why in the world would this good dude go from Antioch, who was all the way over here, all the way back over to Syria? It didn't make any sense. Then I realized it was two different Antiochs, but You know better, you do better, you say better, you learn better. Praise God. So then he goes from this Antioch and starts going back east to Iconium. Then he goes kind of south to Lystra preaching Christ. Then he lands in Derbe preaching Christ. Family, do you see the thing? He is preaching Christ, preaching Christ, preaching Christ. One of my favorite Christian rap artists, I can't even remember his name at the moment, but he made a statement. He was like, what else is there to live for? What else is there to hope and still? I preach Christ with a broken will. What else is there to live for but Christ? What else is there to hope in still but the gospel? Everything else will fade, right? Our future is only secure because of the fact that we are found in Christ Jesus, right? And I preach Christ with a broken will, not my will. Jesus made the perfect model for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. But your will be done. And because of that, we have hope. Hope eternal. Amen? So, in Lystra, right before he got to Derbe, which was actually an about-face turn, and he went back through all of the cities that we already discussed, including adding another city called Attalia, right? So in Syria, The Lord uses Paul to heal this impotent man that was impotent from birth. And the people went buck wild, began to worship Paul and Barnabas, start calling them Jupiter and Mercurius, basically worshiping them as false gods. And when Apostle Paul and Barnabas realized what they were doing, they ran in between the people, ripped off their clothes, fell down, and actually was like, yo, what are you doing? We are mere men just like you. The creator of the cosmos is who you should be worshiping. The one that actually created the heavens and the earth, that causes the rain to fall from heaven and causes fruit to grow out of the ground, that's who you should be worshiping. And scripture says it was an extremely challenging task for them to prevent these people from actually worshiping them. And so then it goes on. They struggled with them to stop them from making sacrifices. And eventually some Jewish men from Antioch and Iconium came to Lystra and began to persecute, began to persuade, began to lie and deceit to cause the people there to turn. And that is where Apostle Paul got stoned to so-called death. So the suffering servant was reminded of his suffering servant, his sovereign Savior, who set us free from our sin sickness. Paul made it crystal clear in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 or 10. He said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Family, that's what we want to do. Thinking about all the places that Apostle Paul ended up going, through chapter 9, through chapter 13, and through chapter 14 of Acts, it really gives us a broad scope of about 12 different locations where he did what? Where he preached Christ. He preached Christ reverently and fervently. And if you deep dive into the text, you will see the pattern: preaching persecution, preaching persecution, preaching persecution. But it can't be a surprise, because where we started, Acts chapter 9, verse 16, it was already promised. I'm going to show him how he's going to suffer for my name's sake. But in the process of it, what did the Lord do? The Lord graciously sustained him through it all to be a model for the church up under the guidelines of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it clear, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is for righteousness' sake. This isn't just like, I'm running my mouth at my job talking about politics and all of a sudden I get some persecution because there's not a consensus agreement between us. This is about sharing truth that sets men free. The Bible tells us in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So we have to remember that, family. When we open up our mouths and we speak truth, we have to be prepared for some form of suffering. Apostle Paul would not have said it if it would not be so. So if you not have not experienced any type of suffering, family, I ask you, evaluate yourself. Say to yourself, each day, each opportunity I'm given, am I actually taking advantage of the platform that the Lord has laid out for me? I fail every day, family. In the last 2 weeks, we have had about 6 people come to our home because of different things that we had to do. We sold our daughter's car. Our countertop got cracked, so we had to get our kitchen pulled out, get a utility sink. We had something else happen, right? 6 different individuals come to our home. You know how many of them I shared the gospel with? 3, family. Why 3, though? Why not all of them? Why not attempt? God has given me the space. We all know what scripture says, Mark 16:15, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at God being so generous and kind, bringing the world to us. And since they're here, maximize our moments. Multiple of the dudes that I had conversations with, one of them, Muslim dude from an Arab country, all he was trying to hear is that Jesus was a prophet. That was it. So my job is to pray for this guy. Pray fervently for this guy, because we all have limits on how far it is that we can go with the word of God, right? Another guy, he actually was born again, baptized, catechized, on fire for the Lord, had this incredible cross tatted on his arm, right? So we got a chance to be able to talk Jesus the whole time while he's working. Another guy, he actually said that he was born again. I asked him, where's your local place of worship at, right? Family, it's so important for us to engage people when sharing the gospel, because if we find out they're a brother or sister in the faith, you might have just gained someone that you can spend years and years with growing in the things of God. So he was putting new tent on our car, and so I asked him, I was like, man, praise God, you were born again. Where you worship at, bro? I mean, that's a normal question, because the Bible tells us what? To forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So you know what his response was? He was like, as long as I know the Lord, I ain't got to be at no church. And I was like, wow. So I could have been wrong and be like, are you stupid? Right? I would never do that. But being self-controlled, when someone says something like that, we are led by the Spirit. The response would be something like, I hear what you're saying. Let me tell you what scripture says. So of course, I took him to the scripture that I just quoted, right? Hebrews 10:25, right? So you can't grow without being in a place where you're being taught. That is one of the reasons why the church was established. Your lack of being present amongst the saints prevents you from being able to get examples on how this walk, this Christian journey, should be. You don't get an opportunity to be able to serve the Lord in a gifting that he's given you, maybe when you're not in the church. The variety of gifts and talents that the Lord distributes to his children are to be used for the edification of the body, the enjoyment of the world, so that the light of Christ is blazing in their eyesight and they realize, man, I'm missing something. We got the antidote, and that antidote is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Family, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I plead with you, as Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. This comes right off of the heels of him telling the church in Corinth, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking to believers, to receive for what he's done in the body, whether good or bad. So our evaluation by our Savior has everything to do with the rewards that we will receive. This isn't about heaven or hell. If the Lord Jesus snatched us up from our sin sickness and set us free, then we are secured in Christ by the Spirit. But we will be rewarded. We will be evaluated for the labor that we do when we come to Jesus Christ. The Lord is gracious. Scripture talks about a bunch of different things. I'm not 100% certain if the crowns that we receive, because there's 5 different crowns that the Bible speaks on in various places, will we just lay them at his feet or what? Honestly, it don't matter, because my reward is Jesus. But at the same time, if he tells us he wants to reward us, then we're saved to work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We all know it. We are his workmanship. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, where God has foreordained that we should walk in them. So telling people about the terror of the Lord, we are striving to persuade them. We know God's going to build his church, but we're just called to make his name known. And in making his name known, there are times where we have the privilege to be able to win souls, right? Christ will save. We get the privilege to be the mouthpiece. One of my favorite passages of scripture when I was coming up as a child was Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But he that winneth souls is wise, family. And I want to be wise in my Savior's eyes. We have to trust in the power of the Spirit of God to strengthen us so that when we open up our mouth and when we share the word of God, we can trust that his will be performed. If you are born again, but you have a family member or a neighbor or a stranger, family, I plead with you, don't allow your opportunity to be missed because you don't know the person that's in front of you or behind you in a grocery store or with you and you're in the restaurant or the server that comes to the table. It doesn't matter that they're a stranger. They are an image bearer of God. I didn't say that they were born again, but all of creation are image bearers. You won't know if they're born again unless you spark a conversation. So I encourage you to do that, family. And then you have the chance to be able to tell them, as Mark chapter 1, verse 15 said, repent and believe. The same way that you did is the same way that the Lord could do it in them, through them, and for his glory. Family, I love you. I appreciate the opportunity. Would you tell Pastor Dale, I'm so sorry, but I messed up the tape that was down there on the floor on accident. It got stuck to my shoe. But seriously, family, don't take the time that we have for granted. We're on borrowed time all the time. And all the time we got is all the time we got. But one day, that time's going to stop. And when that time stops, what will your Savior say? Amen.